I may be a little slow in responding here for a moment. My visual system needs adjusting quite frequently these days. And so I may have to raise or lower the works. It seems to be darker than you. But we'll get there. I've selected for our scripture this morning from section 41 of our Latter-day Book of Scriptures. It's one in which the church was instructed to prepare to meet together to receive the law of his church. It holds that kind of importance. Hearken and hear, O ye my people, saith the Lord and your God, ye whom I delight to bless with the greatest blessings. Yea, that hear me, and ye that hear me not, will I curse, that have professed my name with the heaviest of all cursings. Hearken, O ye elders of my church, whom I have called. Behold, I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall assemble yourselves together to agree upon my word. And by the prayer of your faith, ye shall receive my law, that ye may know how to govern my church, and have all things right before me. And I will be your ruler when I come. And behold, I come quickly, and ye shall see that my law is kept. He that receiveth my law and doeth it, the same is my disciple. And he that saith he receiveth it and doeth it not, the same is not my disciple. And he shall be cast out from among you. For it is not meet that the things which belong to the children of the kingdom should be given to them that are not worthy. Are to dogs or the pearls to be cast out before swine? And again, it is meet that my servant Joseph Smith Jr. should have a house built in which he is to live and translate. And again, it is meet that my servant Sidney Rigdon should live as seemeth him good, inasmuch as he keepeth my commandments. And again, I have called my servant Edward Partridge and give a commandment that he should be appointed by the voice of the church and ordained a bishop unto the church, to leave his merchandise and spend all his time in the labors of the church, to see to all things as it shall be appointed unto him in my laws in this day that I shall give him. And this because his heart is pure before me. For he is like unto Nathanael of old, and is given, and in whom there is no guile. These words are given unto you, and they are pure before me. Wherefore, beware how you hold them, for they are to be answered upon your souls in the day of judgment. Even so, amen.
Thank you.
It's good to share with you again this morning. It's good to always share with the saints in their house of prayer and house of worship. There's nothing more of any value greater than what we are doing now. To meet in the Lord's house. To think upon His wondrous message of salvation. And to be able to share those words and contemplate how great and marvelous are His ways unto us as His children. Glad to see my son made it down here. And yet I wasn't expecting him today, but for thinking the weather might be too much to make the trip. There are several events that we share at Christmas time. There are several reasons for Christmas. Well, there are many reasons for Christmas. We could share every day as a Christmas day and make purpose of it, make righteous purpose of it. That's the nature of the gift that the Lord has given to us. And I appreciate very much Joel lending part of his family to share with us this morning. Or if he's like me, I would be better off if my family were to share without me completely. And you would be much better off. So, but we do appreciate all that effort. The events of Christmas, and we see them all about us now, this time of the year, we still remember. It's amazing in a sense that we can still have a desire to have joy and to rejoice and to think about what God has done for us so many, many years ago. We're still honoring Him to some extent, at least I hope, that He's willing to continue to share this day with us. Upon the earth. Oh, He knows it's violated in so many ways from the way it could be or should be. Faint is the activities that used to go with peace and goodwill toward all men. These were the days of the original Christmas, weren't they? Nowadays, it's rapidly becoming merry everything, and may free shipping be yours. That's how the change has occurred. But we know how to celebrate Christmas. We know the purpose of it. We are very glad that He can share, that He wants us to share. But there are other things too. There's four events I started to say a minute ago. Four events that we can classify as associated rightfully with Christmas worship and Christmas recognition. Because these four events do with Christ. And important events. These are four events that He has scheduled and told us about that will take place in this mortal venue of life. One of them has already occurred, and that was the one that we celebrate and re-celebrate. And we celebrate every bit. And it's worth it. And we know it. But there are, and there's one that he's promised. The last one is going to be a glorious affair. And it's one that we will probably spend the whole next 1,000 years celebrating that and gaining the full appreciation that we can out of it. But there are two other events that he classifies as visitations. And you think, well, do they have value? Yes, they do have value. In fact, they are here to prepare us. He's coming to see his people, not all of them, a select group, the ones who need to be seen. He's coming to see us, and they're primarily the members of our church, of the restored church. I'm not talking about some particular group that's formed. I'm talking about all those that have heard the gospel message of truth in the last days and who have made their covenant in the manner in which he's asked it be made, that they might join in and return to him in that day of returning. But it's in jeopardy, that last day. Or it would appear to be, it would be, if the Lord didn't come in these next events. For these next events have to do with better preparing his children who are coming back to him so they can be successful in that journey of returning to him. And he's coming primarily to correct whatever needs to be corrected. There is some wrath manifested on his part as he cleans and brings to order his house, because too many things are ignored. Too many things are not done. Too many things are not done when we even state somehow that they need to be done, but don't do them. All kinds of things where we've failed to bring the church into its position where the Lord can come down and join. He calls them visitations, but they are going to be most pleasant. The end of each of those is going to be most pleasant, but the duration of them, sometimes there will be some things most unpleasant. For the Lord has promised he's got to clean the house, he's got to prepare us for Zion to come, or it'll never come. And I've often thought, and I'm sure you have too, how long does it take? And of course, every day that I get a little older, I think, boy, I tell you, they're running out of time. We've got to do something. We've got to do something to bring Zion into fruition, to have it function the way that it was designed to function and is designed to function. And we all say that we want that, but years go by. And we're still not much further than where we were some time back. And somehow, I'm afraid we're not as far as we were some time back. But the Lord has made it very plainly. And I chose to read that scripture. I was directed to read that scripture almost at the last moment that I read for our opening scripture, our basic scripture. The Lord is most anxious to give us His word, by which we, if we obey Him, we have the warranty and the guarantee that He will claim us. He will bring us home. He will bring us back to that venue of life which knows no sadness, knows no sorrow, but is always with Him. But He knows how much power Satan has. We don't know that, but He does. And He knows that if we are free in this venue in which we live, mortal venue, somehow Satan's the invitations of Satan look awfully tempting to too many of his people, and we won't represent the truth as right as we could. And you know that what I'm talking about. I think that event is close at hand. He says very plainly, it's coming in the days of wickedness and vengeance among the children of men. Well, perhaps in a way you might say that's been going on now and almost in full for I don't know how long. But folks, the Lord means what He says in His Word. How pointed He was in that section where He said, I'm going to give you how to govern my church and how to keep all things right before me. That's the celestial law, folks, in full. If you're to have the law that puts all things right before Him, that's the celestial law. That's the law that produces that fraternity that we refer to as Zion. Nothing else will do it. So He's got to help us clean, because too many times we have let things go. We've let things turn about. And you need not spend 1 minute thinking of a way of how you might devise another method. There is none. What He says, His word, has to be maintained. Has to be kept. And so He says when He's coming to prepare us in order to get ready for Zion in truth. The fourth event, of course, is the beautiful event of the glorious coming for those who successfully change what needs to be changed in their life. And I don't know of very many that is completely ready. No one's fully ready. We've got to be serious, though, about doing things as Christ has told us to do them. Don't try to use a substitute, as I said a minute ago. We're just wasting our time. The world has been doing that for years and years. But we want to be able to be with Him in that glorious kingdom of glory. I don't think there's any message that we have in our scriptures that bring us assurance, that give us great hope that give us the confidence that the plans of our Lord will be victorious, and we will have Zion. Then the words that in the ministry that's recorded so many years ago by Enoch in our record. Enoch seems to be one of those, and maybe it's because we, being one of those older saints who've gone before, seems to be one of them who we have more record about in our scriptures. But it seems as if he went farther than most of the men did. And he gained information and insight. He gained prophetic guidance. And he taught his people that they were to heed that word upon word, to live by every word that he was teaching them. And he was the one who was blessed by God many days of his life as he walked in this mortal venue, as he had a body to deal with that often sensed tiredness and weariness and perhaps pain and suffering and sadness. But he brought the people to a level, and I've looked at that, may have said this once before, I used to try to wonder what, it says he gave them a power of speech that was just almost greater than any, well it was greater than anybody else on the earth at the time. But what was it? I think it was that somehow Enoch understood those words, "Thou shalt live by every word that proceedeth forth from thy mouth." That's the words of God. That's the ones that we often say we're doing it, and we're not. So the Lord is coming to clean the house and be ready so that Zion can come. Because immediately after the first event, Zion can get underway. But the big events have to wait for the second event of visitation, of cleaning. There will be things there that will have to be corrected before he can leave us alone and know that Zion for sure is on its way. So we have those two events to experience in our life if we are alive at the time they're going to have. I may not have to experience those. Pardon me, I don't know why I say I may not have to experience them. The outcome of both of them is a joyful outcome. So, if I do experience, I hope that I can take that teaching that he's going to bring to my attention and comprehend it and follow it so that there is no difference. There is no failure. The Lord can say, "Come," and he can take us. In fact, that's when, according to his promise to us, is I think it was his promise to Noah that whenever thy posterity, I'll get it right in a minute here, referring to Noah and to Enoch both, whenever thy posterity shall embrace the truth. See, there's the clues right there. I said that we got to live by every word. That's what that embrace word means. We've got to accept it exactly as the Lord gives it to us and follow it and be glad in our heart that we have taken that step to help promote the most wonderful enterprise upon earth. There's a lot of people waiting for that to happen. And he tells us that it will happen. And it seems to be, as you read down through the scripture of that wonderful dialogue that Enoch and the Lord had, way back before Enoch was a city and it was taken up into heaven, he was shown many things. And because of his obedience to the law, you see, he gained much more knowledge. And all of the promises that the Lord said that I'll share with you were beginning to be shared with him. You see, we don't grow. We don't wait and receive everything in one full package as we pass through the pearly gates or something. The Lord grows righteousness with us if we'll let it in this life. And the sooner we're willing to obey him completely, the more completely will be our understanding of all those things that he's anxious to share with us. But Enoch was sharing with the Lord, and he witnessed the event that was almost immediately following his mortal life here. All the death of his fellow people in the flood. And that brought him to tears. And he couldn't understand. First of all, you know that he couldn't understand why the Lord would even shed a tear. You've got many more people you can resupply the earth with. He thought, and the Lord said, you don't understand yet the picture. I created these in mine own image. I've got something, some great investment in them, every one of them. And they were taught by me to be good and follow my teachings. But he said, they chose not. And he looked again, and Enoch began to weep himself. See, he began to see what was really wrapped up in this enterprise of promoting life and assisting life in every way to accomplish its objective. Oh, there's a great, great challenge there. And that's what the Lord did before we ever left the spirit world. He told us what our challenge would be in this great enterprise. And so Enoch is just now catching on. But then the Lord showed him a little further in time when the Son of Man who would come in this life, that he might bring the ministry that's needed, that Zion could just have been begun then. But no, it didn't work. You see, because Satan also was allowed freedom to function in the lives of the people upon the earth. So many more years had to pass before we could get something. So Enoch began to be concerned about you and I. What about those people in the last days? What about them? Are you going to come again? Or was this time in which I just saw that you showed me when your only begotten was hung upon the cross and he died? Will you not come again upon the earth for all the other people's sake? And he began to plead with him. And he got the answer. Yes, I will come again. Yes, I will come again. But then he went on to tell them at the time it would happen. It would be in the days of wickedness and vengeance. And that's this fourth event, of course, that we're all looking forward to. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful, folks, that the Lord has taken the time and the willingness and the purpose of hoping to achieve, and knowing that he could achieve if he would take the time to lead us and teach us rightfully. And hopefully we could hold on to that at least until the end of the experiment is over. He is prepared for us in every way. We can't have to do nothing except, you see, follow his word and find joy in doing so. And then taking that same word to someone who isn't following and seeing if we could help them follow. You see, that's one of the weaknesses that has befallen us as a people, as an organization, or whatever grouping word we want to use. We have been slackened in doing that. We haven't done what we were supposed to. And if you'll read just a little bit further in some of those scriptures that I cited, you will see, young Joseph was already starting after 42. He had just gotten out to Ohio, of course, with all the saints. And he was beginning to call them now to this meeting where his law could be submitted to the people. He was already having difficulty with getting some of them to take up their task and their assignment, to follow the assignment. So, and to take up a following in the way that, in which they would make a covenant with him that they would keep. And he knew what much trouble that would be. But that's the correction. That's one of them that has to come. We as a people have to grow so much stronger than we now are in winning people. We are people who bear testimony. And the good Holy Spirit gets credit for the win. But that's one of the things that will have to be changed, you see, before we can even start to build Zion. We have to look at the order that's getting out of place with many of us, of the people. We're waiting for something to happen when there are other things preceding that have got to be done before that thing we're hoping will happen. That's kind of a statement with words, but the words are repeated very strangely. But God has provided the way, folks. He has provided all the rules. So you see, he said, he told them plainly, so you'll know how to govern my church. And you'll know and you're charged then, he says, to rule over them. You're charged to see that they follow the word, or they don't remain a member of the body. Now that's an area where we've probably been very slack in our church, and I don't like to use the word probably. We have been slack. The Lord has said there is a covenant that you make, and we often will let them make that covenant and let them turn against that covenant and yet let them continue as if nothing had happened. We have to regulate the church. We have to exercise ruling over the church. And that's the role of the priesthood, where we have to learn some more and be taught some more. And it's in these visitations where this is planned to take place. So in a sense, folks, we look forward. Not always on the event that happened in the past. As beautiful as celebrating that event is every year. But we look forward to the day when we can make those corrections so that we can enjoy the great feature of welcoming people into our church, of which we know such a little bit, because we do convert some, help some people, and we do render assistance to that. I don't mean we're completely wrong. The Lord has never said that. He's just wanting us to finish the things that have to be done. And where His wrath is kindled, and this is the last thing I'll share with you, where His wrath is kindled more than anything else is people who claim they're followers of the Christ in fullness, but indeed, and in actual work, they're following something else. These are the ones who has to be cleaned from His body before it can be effective and do the job that He has set before them. I hope that I've shared with you something of value. I know the purpose of it is of value, but whether my weak wording was sufficient to have you grasp how important it is that we learn and keep the law, and that has always been. But now that we prepare, we gird up our loins. The Lord said, that's what we've got to do. We've got to prepare in order to be ready for Zion to be built. And we are not there yet. And He's promised to come help us. It's good to share with you again.